Sahasrayam Sahasresu Kaschip Yatati Siddhaye Yatatam Mati Siddhanam Kaschim Mamveti Tatpata.
Translation. Out of many thousands amongst men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Purport. There are various grades of men, and out of many thousands, one may be sufficiently interested in transcendental realization to try to know what is the self, what is the body, and what is the absolute truth. Generally, mankind is simply engaged in the animal propensities of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, and hardly anyone is interested in transcendental knowledge. The first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita are meant for those who are interested in transcendental knowledge, in understanding the deeper self, the super self, and the process of realization by jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, and discrimination of the self from matter. However, Krishna can be known only by persons who are in Krishna consciousness. Other transcendentalists may achieve impersonal Brahman realization, but this is easier than understanding Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Person, but at the same time, he is beyond the knowledge of Brahman and Paramatma. The yogis and jnanis are confused in their attempts to understand Krishna. Although the greatest of the impersonalists, Sripad Shankaracharya, has admitted in his Gita commentary that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his followers do not accept him as such. But it is very difficult to know Krishna, even though one has transcendental realization of impersonal Brahman. This is a very well-known and often quoted verse in the Bhagavad Gita. All the 700 verses, of course, are very important, but some have special significance. And this verse in particular has significance for those who are not yet on the path of self-realization, who have not woken up to the real purpose of life. Atato Brahma Janasya, Vedanta Sutra says. Now that we've come to the human form of life, now is the time for spiritual introspection. This is the business of the human being. Krishna begins the verse with Manushyanam, meaning man, mankind, men and women, Manushyanam. Prabhupada said the English word man is ultimately derived from this Sanskrit word Manu or Manushyanam, mankind. As we've discussed numerous times, but always in Sunday feast lectures, which are more or less introductory lectures, despite the fact that we have many veterans in the audience, still we prefer to address the newcomers or the new devotees. And the advanced devotees can also listen and take advantage of how to present our basic philosophy to those who are not aware of Krishna consciousness. As we discussed many times, 8,400,000 species of life in this material creation. There's two worlds, paras tasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana, Krishna says in Gita. Beyond this temporary world, which is sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifested, there's an eternal world which is never subject to destruction. There are an infinite amount of liberated souls, enlightened souls, engaged in various transcendental activities in the association of the Supreme Lord. For one reason or another, some, a very minute amount, fall to the material world and become entangled with their material desires and material existence. And they fall into one of 8,400,000 categories or species of life. Very exact. Gita is like a science. It gives us a very it gives us an overall view of the material world and the spiritual world as well. So 8,400,000 species of life. And specifically, Gita says 900,000 species of fish, 2 million species of trees and plants, 1,100,000 species of insects and reptiles, 1 million species of birds. We haven't seen 1 million species of birds. 3 million species of animals, and the little percentage left over, that's you and me, with a small percentage. But the most significant, because as we always point out in our public discourses in the halls, we have the buddhi, the intelligence, to understand the spiritual subject matter. So this, therefore, we can conclude, because there's 8,400,000 species, and 400,000, what is the percentage of 400,000 out of 8 million? Very small. So therefore, the acharyas say, this human form of life is rarely achieved. It's very rare. If you were able to count all the living entities in this room, we would still be the minority. Although we're big and strong and take up a lot of room, there's millions and billions of living entities living on the head of a pin. Viruses, and bugs, and germs, and so on. You take the whole room into account. We're the minority. So therefore, Shastra concludes, very rare, durlabham, this human form of life is very rarely achieved. Prahlad Maharaj instructs his school friends in the Bhagavatam. It says, Kumara acharit prajno dharman bhagavatan iha. Durlabham manusham janma tad apya dhuvanam artaram. He says, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of 5, they say the beginning because that's when the intelligence awakes and you can begin to understand things as they are. Before that, it's kind of like vegetable. When the intelligence awakens, that's really the beginning of the human existence. To practice the activities of devotional service. Durlabham manusham janma. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary, like other bodies, it is meaningful because in the human form of life one can perform devotional service. Then Prahlad concludes, even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. So we have this rare life. The disadvantage is that we can't see the past. We can see a few years into the past, and but even this lifetime, what can you remember when you were 2, 3, 4, or 5? Our memory is not very strong. Even if you have a strong memory, you can't see your past birth or your past births. You can get an idea of what they were like by your present state of existence. What you are now is an accumulation of what you were in many previous lifetimes, but you can't specifically see. But we can see to the eyes of Shastra, Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. We can understand that since we left the spiritual world, we've pretty much been everywhere and done everything. There's that saying, been there, done that. Yes, sir? You have been in the material world, Prabhupada says, from time immemorial. That's a polite way of saying we can't put a mathematical quotation on how long you've been here. That number would just ring around, you write it on the walls, the number would go around and around and around. You couldn't count endless births in this material world you've been here. And therefore you can conclude logically, sometimes you've been a devata on the heavenly planets, Svargalok, many times you've taken birth on the earth, and you've taken birth in lower species and lower planets, perhaps Patala, Rasatala, lower planetary systems. But by God's grace, because the whole purpose is ultimately to come back to the spiritual world, and that you can only do in the human form of life, you always come back to the human species. What was the analogy we used in the public lecture the other day? You put a rubber ball underwater, and by nature's way, you let it go. By nature's way, it comes back up to the top. You can try to force it to stay down, but by nature's way, it comes back up to the top and floats on the top. So by nature's way, which means whose nature? God's nature. This nature didn't happen by chance. There's a creator, a maintainer, and a destroyer of all the material cosmos. That is God, that is Krishna. So by his arrangement, no matter how pious you are, and you pretend to enjoy in Swargalok for some time, until your punya, until your pious activity runs out like a bank account, and you slide back down to the earth, or no matter how low you go because of your impious deeds, your sinful activities, into lower species of life, or lower planetary systems, to the bottom of the universe, no matter what, by nature's way, by providence, by God's will, the living entity always gets another chance. He's so kind. Even our modern judicial system isn't so considerate. I was just reading how O.J. Simpson, the American legendary football player, well, his life wasn't so legendary later on, but anyway, you may know he was committed a robbery, and he's 61, but they put him away for the rest of his life, 33 years. Krishna's not like that. No matter how degraded we become, no matter how forgetful we come, he'll make an arrangement that you come back like the ball to the top, to the surface of the water. You come back, but it takes a long time. Durlabham. Therefore, it's very rare. Unfortunately, sometimes we take for granted a thing that is very rare and very precious due to our stupidity. Mother may have a diamond ring. It's very valuable. She's washing the dishes. She puts it on the chair. The child picks it up. It looks like a piece of glass. He plays a little bit, then he swallows it. Or he throws it down the sink, and you know, and she turns the grinder on to wash, you know, to grind the garbage. Where goes her? We're like the foolish child. We don't really value this human form of life for what it is actually worth. We think that it is meant simply for sense gratification. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. You've got one life, live it up. When you're dead, everything's finished. Maybe, but maybe not. There's two possibilities. You're dead when you're dead, or the soul transcends the phenomenon of death and goes on. There's two possibilities. You better look into both of them deeply before you make a decision that one way or the other. You just have to say, I think. What is your thinking? What do you know? We're like ants in a corner of the room. What do we think about this room as an ant? What difference does it make what the ant thinks? He's confined to a corner with his little body and his tiny intelligence. What can he know? We're like ants in the universe. What can we know? We're so proud. Everything's finished at death. Have you really researched the subject matter, sir? Such a profound question. Does life exist after death? I don't think so. Well, maybe it does. Yeah, I don't think so. Such a profound question. You should research it. Deeper and deeper, and when all you've done all research, you've exhausted your research, then you can say one way or the other. But to be uneducated and make a statement like that is foolishness. And there's plenty of literature that you can study. You can study material science, which comes to the conclusion that there's no life after death. We're simply chemicals, and the chemicals dissolve, life is finished. Or you can study sacred texts like Bhagavad Gita, which says, Najayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavite va anubhaya. For the soul, that particle of life which sustains the body, in which the consciousness is coming, there's no birth, there's no death. Having once been, does he ever cease to be? He's unborn, undying, primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. That philosophy is full of hope. And what is life without hope? The scientific philosophy, if you want to call it philosophy, is hopeless. It's a desperate philosophy. Got a few years left, enjoy as much as you can. But most of us are in that consciousness because that is the the modern day scientists are the gurus, the teachers for this age. And that so-called education is given in grade school, in high school. It's given in college, universities, even PhDs, they study that, so-called. So we're conditioned in that way. We don't realize how rare this and how valuable is this human form of life. That by really realizing this deep subject matter, if we become proficient in it, if we become realized in it, what is the benefit? Then no more birth or death. Krishna says, Abrahma bhuvana loka punar arvito arjuna mamopetite kuntiya punar janma navidyate. Punar janma navidyate. One who attains to my abode in the spiritual world, he never comes back to this world of birth and death. So because we don't realize how valuable this gem of life is, and we don't use it appropriately, there's so many incarnations who are coming to remind us. So many saints are coming to remind us. So many sadhus are coming to remind us. So many rishis. So many yogis. They're not only appearing in India, they're also appearing in the Middle East. They may also appear to some degree in Western countries. They're always trying to wake us up. Just like the famous poet, Govinda Das. He was a poet and he was, you could say, songwriter. His poetry we have turned into songs now. But music is a good medium for spreading a message. Just like reggae. Reggae has a certain message. And because the music's good, it's cool, and the kids like it, then, you know, eventually, what's the message, man? Say, listen to the message. Different types of music have different messages. So bhajan, which are songs of a transcendental nature, they also have a deeper message. And Govinda Das knew this trick, how to get the message through to the slumbering souls of in illusion. He says, Bhajah Huremana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare Durlaba Manava Janama Satsange Taroha E Bhava Sindure. Bhajahu Remana Srinanda Nandana Advai Charanada Vindure. The singing, it becomes very beautiful. O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda, which makes one fearless. Having obtained this rare human birth, cross over this ocean of worldly existence to the association of saintly persons. That is the value of the human form of life. We're so foolish, we become even fascinated by other forms of life, like cats and dogs. I saw one man in Harinam, he had 4 dogs. Not that we're against the animals, we also vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini sunichaiva sapakicha pandita samdarshanaha. We see all living entities equal. We see the dog and the cat and the bird as our brother and sister. The body is different, but the spark of life within the soul is exactly the same. Simply, he's covered by a different body. At the same time, in Vedic culture, the cats and dogs, because of their ignorance and their unclean manner, they're kept outside the house. They're engaged in various ways, like farming and transportation, and they're taken well care of, but you don't consider them like your best friend in that sense. People are fascinated these days by cats, dogs, and horses, and parrots, and bunny rabbits. They're so soft and cuddly. But we should know that although they're cute, we should be very determined that we won't take that fluffy body. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajati anta kalevaram. Krishna says, whatever mentality you have at the moment of death, that will determine your next birth. If you're too much attached to your dog at the moment of death, then you will take birth as a dog. As radical as it sounds, these are the laws of nature, which our scientists have not yet discovered, which they may discover one day. Our spiritual master said that there was one Indian politician, a politician from India, I don't know if I should say his name or not. Anyway, I'll say Mr. Nehru. And he was very attached to his country. We know the history. And he was very attached to his family, and he was very attached to his dogs. He tried to introduce Western culture into India. He thought this was progress. Kick out our Vedic culture and be like the Englishman. They just kicked the Englishman out, but they wanted the English culture. So he had, like Englishmen, they had dogs. He also had dogs. So when he eventually passed away, one Vedic astrologer said, by doing calculation from the stars and the moment of birth and activities and the moment he died, he said that he took birth as one of two dogs in a Swedish family. Now this is preposterous to the modern intellectual mind. But again, what do we know? We know about as much as far as our nose grows. That's about as we are very limited. We are conditioned souls. Our mind is limited. Our senses are imperfect. We make mistakes. We come under illusion. No one can claim to be an authority about life unless he has a bona fide spiritual master who knows the Shastra and knows the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, this is a fact. These are simply the facts of life. These are the mechanics of life. This is the mechanics of the world. That if you have a certain mentality, whatever you are most attached to at death, that state you will attain. Therefore, life means to become, to be responsible for our education, our career, our family, our social duties, our country. But as life goes on, to gradually become detached, lest we risk coming back because of one of the many varieties of attachments. And to transfer our attachments to God, to Krishna. That is the actual path of life. Not to be irresponsible and run away from everything. We're attached. But to live them in amongst these attachments, and gradually, as you reach 60, 70, 80, gradually detached and become attached to God. And when you die, if you're thinking of Krishna, you go. You go where your heart takes you. You go, it's a question of the heart. And if throughout your life you've little by little by little cultivated this divine love within the heart for the most lovable, enchanting personality, Krishna, then death, you're there. Otherwise you risk coming back again. Actually, these cute little puppy dogs and little kittens. Everything's cute when it's young. That's the trick of the. When I was young, our neighbors, they had a pet store downtown. I used to go down and just stand in front of the pet store and just look at the pets and hope they would come out and give me one. I was thinking that because I was looking so lovingly at these pets, they would be kind upon me and ask me to come in the shop and pick out whatever I wanted. I spent hours there. But what I realized as I grew up, and I didn't stand in front of the store anymore, was that in order to, as an incentive to make people buy the animals, they were all like young, cute little kittens and little fluffy rabbits and cute little puppy dogs and little parakeets and even the little snakes and the little frogs and even the scorpions. Anything that's nature's way, it's just how nature works that we take care of the youth so they succeed us in the future. But don't be illusioned. Actually, the soul inside that body is being severely punished. Anything lower than the human form of life, it's a punishment. And the punishment is they have to live in very harsh conditions. Of course, there's a few pets, but what are the pets? What's the ratio of pets to all the animals that live in the wild? It's a hard struggle for existence. There, anything lower than human form of life, as cute as it may be, it's only given the basic requirements to live. Nothing extra, no comforts, no luxuries. Just like a prisoner when he's put in jail. Nothing extra, no comfort, no luxury. However, the greatest punishment for lower species of life is that because they don't have any developed intelligence, they can't understand God. The ability to perceive the self within, to perceive the Supreme Self and our intimate, loving relationship with Him, this is the greatest opulence, and that you gain by knowledge. Therefore, the Vedas say, Savari Bhushanam Chandro Naninam Bhushanam Pati Prithivi Bhushanam Raja Vidya Sarvasha Bhushanam. I love this verse. Bhushanam means knowledge. The ornament of the night is the moon. The ornament of a woman is a good qualified husband. The ornament of the earth is a righteous king. And knowledge is the ornament of everything. So, concise knowledge, so beautifully presented. The ornament of the night is the moon. The ornament of a woman is a righteous and good husband. The ornament of the earth is the king. And knowledge is the ornament of everything. All ignorance can be overcome by knowledge. And with knowledge, you can enter into the spiritual realm and the spiritual sky. So, but if you're something less than a human being, well, you have no access to knowing even the most simple thing. What is the most simple spiritual truth? Aham Brahmasmi. I am spirit soul. So that's a type of hellish conditioning. Especially when there's a saying that when you do something you like, time goes very quickly. But when you're doing something you don't like, time goes very slow. So when we're conditioned in these various species, time goes very slow. Just like in Krishna consciousness, because we've discovered the real joy, the nature of the soul, Ananda Buddhi Bhada, time goes very quickly. In 2 months' time, I'm going to have my 60th birthday. The autumn of life, the last stage. But it's almost as if I joined yesterday, Krishna consciousness, in 1970-71. Life has gone so quickly because spiritual life is so enjoyable. Anyway, we are in the human form of life. And there's 400,000 species even in the human life. What does that mean? Well, there's demigods down to monkeys. Demigods are included in the scheme of human beings, and so are monkeys. Recently, the scientists discovered that monkeys have 98% of our genes that make up our personalities. Only 2% is the difference. Of course, for the scientists, this confirms Darwin's theory that man evolved from monkeys. But we accept Krishna's statement in Gita that all forms of life were created simultaneously at one go at the beginning of creation. It was all there from the beginning. He says, in the beginning I sent forth generations of men and demigods and blessed them that by the performance of the sacrifice all desirable things will be bestowed upon you. So there are different types of human beings, 400,000 different types of qualifications. But we should aim to be first class. Nothing less. It's like there's a saying, if you're going to go hunting, then try for the rhinoceros. It's very difficult to bring down a rhinoceros. If you don't bring him down, what can people say? But if you bring down the rhinoceros, oh, this is something very special. Not that we're advocating hunting. It's just an analogy. If we're going to live this short life, the short span of life, we should try for perfection. And that perfected being is called Aryan. Aryan means actually civilized. Generally, a civilized person is taken to be someone who has a good education, dresses well, speaks well, perhaps has accumulated enough wealth But actually the word Aryan is not referring to that type of man or woman. It's referring to a person who is advanced spiritually. Just like India, according to the Shastra, the persons who are, those who are most pious, they take their birth in the land of India. Bharata bhumite hoila manushya janma yara janma shartaka kare kara par upakara. That the most pious persons, when they die, they take birth in the land of India. But achieving perfection doesn't necessarily depend upon taking birth in India. For one can become purified of sinful reactions and bad karma and ignorance, even if they're born in Malachadesh or Yavanadesh, places like Australia or America or Germany or France or Russia. Pious people also take birth here, but they don't have necessarily the same opportunity as people who take birth in India, where so many unlimited incarnations of God have appeared. And Krishna himself has appeared. And as a result, the culture is rich, spiritually rich, with Krishna consciousness. Nevertheless, no one is barred from becoming an Aryan, a spiritually advanced person. Just like if one is born poor, it's not a disqualification for becoming rich. If you're very determined and you study hard, you get a few breaks, you get a sponsorship, you get a grant, you can go on and get the topmost education, become an extremely wealthy person. So although there's a class of men in India called Smarta Brahmins who say that only those born in India in Brahmana families can achieve perfection, Vedic history has actually proven them wrong. Example is higher than precept. For example, out of the 12 Mahajans, the great authorities in the science of self-realization, the science of devotional service, three appear to come from the category of conditioned souls. They're not actually conditioned, but they took those roles to show us how one can become delivered from any condition of life. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu, Komara Kapilo Manu, Pralado Janako Bhishmo, Balir Vyasakir Vayam. Lord Brahma, Narada, Shiva, the four Kumaras, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Swayambhuva Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, and Ayamaraj know the real religious principles. Now Brahma, Narada, and Bali all received the mercy of Krishna and thus became delivered or liberated, you could say. There's a nice example for the Smarta Brahmins. Narada Muni is a very popular personality in Vedic culture, but he was born as from the womb of a Sutrani, a sweeper woman. But because he met a bona fide spiritual masters who enlightened him in Krishna consciousness and he took the process up, he became one of the greatest Vaishnavas. So what's true for them is also true for us. It's also true for those who are born in India but abandon their original Vedic culture. So many people of India have embraced Western culture at the expense of their own spiritual culture. Many are fortunate, like those of you who are sitting here, you've embraced some of the opulence of the West, but because you're here, we can see you don't want to give up your spiritual culture. You can blend the two very nicely. Variety is the spice of life. But so many have embraced Western culture at the expense of their original culture. Actually, their situation is more fallen than those born in the West. That's a strong statement. Their situation is more fallen than the Malachas and the Yavanas of the West. For it's one thing to sin if one doesn't know it's wrong. It's another thing to sin if one's culture has taught one not to sin. Like meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. Nevertheless, even those who know it's wrong and take it up and abandon, still, Sanatana Goswami says, just as bell metal can be changed into gold by a mystical process, so anyone who accepts a bona fide spiritual master and the regulative principles of spiritual life and chants this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Everyone, there's no disqualification. Everyone has is seen as a candidate for spiritual perfection in this age if he embraces the lotus feet of the most recent incarnation of God, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We know from the history of the Purana. Purana is the greater history of India, the greater history of the world, the greater history of the cosmos. That is our Puranas. You go to a library to find a book which can tell you, it go as far back as you can to understand what life was. It's all speculation. But Puranas from India, they go back thousands, millions, or billions and billions and billions, and they give the history of the universe. And there in those ancient scriptures are the description is given of the various incarnations of God who come to this world to enlighten us. Etecham sa kalopum sha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam lokam vidayunte juge juge. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of these incarnations come to this world whenever there's a disturbance created by the enemies of Indra, the Asuras. They come. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chatuskritam. They do their business, the incarnations. And while they're here, they give their message. If we take up that message, we can free ourselves from the tabernacle of material existence. But which incarnation should we follow? There's so many. Oh, I like this one. He's very cute. He's a swan. He's a fish, he's a turtle, he's a cute little Brahmana boy, Vamana. We may have some sentiment like that, but actually, our spiritual master has explained that when many instructions are given, it's wise to take the most recent instruction. It's the most suitable. So although many incarnations have come and given the same message, but in a variety of the way. Most recent incarnation, that incarnation we should follow. Same person appearing at different times, but the most recent instruction is the most valid. If I give you five instructions over the day, my last instruction, that's the one you should listen to. So what is the most recent incarnation? Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Shangopanga Shaparshadam Yagnai Senkatan Prayarishantihi Shavarasham. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden avatar. He's the same Ram that you hold dear to your heart. He's the same Krishna that you hold dear to your heart. But he's appeared in this age in an appropriate form with an appropriate message for the people of this age. Even in this age, we can still perfect Durlabham, this rare human form of life, by following his simple instruction. And he's made it very simple. To try to follow the previous incarnations, and it's very impractical. For Kali Yuga, we have very little time, and time is of an essence. So what is this instruction? Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kolo nasteva, 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 bhatir anyatha. Chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. It's so simple, but still we cannot follow. That is our fallen nature. But some effort must be there on our part. Two things are required. The mercy of God and our own effort. We can't just sit and wait for the mercy of God to become spiritually enlightened. You have to also make... Somebody can throw you the life preserver, but you have to grab it. Or you're a drowning man. You'll be dead in a few minutes. So life preserver is very easy. It's thrown right in front of your nose. You don't have to do anything. Just right in front of your nose. The mantra is there. The books are there. The prasadam is right in front of your nose. You don't have to go over. Just drive to North Sydney and it's all there. It's so simple. It's very simple, but it's not cheap. We have to seriously chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And although some period of grace is given for the newcomers and who've taken up the chanting, as quickly as possible we should arrive at 16 rounds and four liberty principles. That is the formula. Four principles and one instruction, 16 rounds. Five things. You just have to remember those five things. And that's the formula. If the doctor gives you a prescription, you take these five pills. If you leave one pill out, you can't expect to become cured. You can't expect to become healthy. You can't expect to become happy. You can't leave one. So some purity of grace is there. Because we know you're all at different stages of embracing the process of Krishna consciousness. But time and tide wait for no man. There's no guarantee we'll live to that ripe old age of 80 or 90. So we should embrace that simple process, make the adjustments in our life accordingly, our busy social life and our work and whatever, to follow the process as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it, which actually was more difficult in those days. The process as Srila Prabhupada gave it for the fallen souls of this world, this country, Australia, and this city of Sydney. Prabhupada came here with Radha Gopinath. He had a special mercy for the people of the city. Beautiful deities, our temple, and most important, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki. Om Premanande.